You are listening to the In Her Flow podcast with Gina and Serena. We created this podcast to help you nurture and connect to your flow, whilst also reducing the stigma and shame surrounding periods.
Each week, we will share episodes that explore conversations with female health practitioners, industry expanders, and everyday women. We are so grateful that you're tuning in to today's episode. So today we are talking to Rochelle all the way in New Zealand, who is the founder of Seed Cycle Blend. Now, some of you may or may not have heard of the seed cycling protocol, which we'll definitely explain a lot more about. But Rochelle has created convenient, ready-to-use seed cycling blends that are designed to support women hormonally across the phases of their menstrual cycle, whilst empowering them to learn about their own cycle. And we are so grateful to have you on today's show, Rochelle.
Thank you. I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Very excited to have you.
Yeah. And today I'm not sure if it's the same in New Zealand, but in Australia, it's actually International
Women's Day. It is. Happy International Women's Day, lady.
Yeah. And it's so nice to be able to connect and talk to more women in business who are creating such incredible products to support other women.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I'm excited to share and get a bit more into the seed cycling practice and hopefully inspire anyone who, even just in, as you mentioned, in business, inspire any woman who's got an idea and thinking about something to go for it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. So I guess before we jump in, we ask all of our guests how they felt about their period when they first got their period, which can be a little bit scary at times and a bit of a freak out compared to now as a woman, as a sexual business woman.
Yeah, well, so I guess if I start with now, I feel relieved. I feel informed and grateful to be in the body I'm in, experiencing the wonders of my cycle. But that was definitely a bit of a journey from when I first got my period. And before Menaki, Mum had spoken to me about the basics of the period, and I also watched my older sister receiving her period for the first time. So I kind of had a bit of an idea. And Mum had this beautiful ritual of kind of celebrating the cycle, celebrating Menaki, which involved a full, it was awesome. It was a full day celebration, which included a lunch at a nice cafe and going shopping and getting some nice underwear. So initially when I saw blood in my underwear, I thought, oh my god, this is going to be awesome. Like, I felt like I'd won something, because I was like, yes, I'm going for the free lunch and we're going shopping and it's going to be great. And it was a great day, you know. It was very supportive and celebratory, which was just such a positive experience. But what I didn't realize or wasn't aware of was just my lack of knowledge around cycle hormones and the pain and discomfort I would experience pretty much right up until my late 20s. So the innocence was bittersweet. The following month I was glued to the school toilet thinking that my uterus was going to fall out. And so no fancy lunch was going to take away that pain. So that's kind of the journey to where I am now, feeling just more relief and just that body literacy, I think, is just so empowering. When you know what's happening in your body, there's a lot of things that just kind of melt away, including the fear of, pregnancy and also pain, you know, like not knowing where it's coming from and am I normal and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, that was kind of my first experience and how I'm feeling now.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, what an amazing ritual to do with your daughters. I feel like I want to take that on if I ever have.
Yeah.
It's just such a nice way to welcome your bleed and, you know, not associate it with just pain and negativity like most kids
do. Totally, yeah. I felt really kind of held in that experience, you know, and especially when you're the younger sister, you can kind of watch things and go, oh, cool, okay, that's what I can expect. I'm sure it would have been a little bit more challenging for her when, you know, she wasn't sure what to expect. But yeah, we were very lucky to have a mom who made that experience a positive one.
Yeah, so beneficial, I think.
It's also such a beautiful, I feel that sounds like such an amazing bonding experience with your mum as well, and her kind of walking you through womanhood and you seeing your mum kind of interacting with you in a way and educating you and giving you support and love. I think if you're a woman and your mum doesn't really give you that, that can also create this kind of disconnect.
Yeah.
Of being like, well, why is no one really caring about this or celebrating this or supporting me or giving me information? And it's almost like that disconnect is immediate from the get-go.
It's kind of like she set the tone for how we communicate around this topic almost, you know. It was kind of like opening the door to this room that you can always go into and have a chat about your body, which was how I kind of had this relationship with mum. Dad, like, bless him, he was just like, good on you, you know, like, just
pat on the back,
you know, just a little like good stuff, you know, like supportive, trying to still be kind of part of the you know, the unit, the team. But yeah, mum really set the tone for me to always feel comfortable to approach her about anything to do with my body. There was kind of no judgment. It was always open for discussion. So yeah, I think it really did set the tone for just open communication moving forward.
Yeah, I feel like that would, you know, create a lot less shame around periods as well. I feel like in my early years, I was so insecure about talking to my parents about it. I wanted to hide, you know, the sanitary products, whether they were used or whether they were new. So it was, I think, a lot of shame around a lot of hiding. Whereas, like, if your parents embrace it a little bit more and encourage you to talk about it, encourage a good experience around it, you're going to feel a lot more integrated.
100%. With your parents. Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. Trying to hide the tampon from dad's eyes.
I know. And when the ads would come on, like during a movie or something, and it would be like trying to change the channel from like the Libra ads.
It's so funny. Yeah, the little things that we used to do about hiding things from our parents that are just, you know, they're just such a cheap.
I know, and the thing is, we can't like blame our parents for what they didn't do, you know, like they were doing the best they could at the time as well, like in any situation. And we're just so lucky now that we're having conversations like this one, that we've got all of this incredible technology for our bleed, you know, cups, underwear, even just, you know, being able to see these visuals of blood more regularly on social media and, you know, other places, more artistic installations, etc. It's just, I'm so excited and grateful for the girls coming through Menaki who, you know, have so much more support and a whole community that is just so comfortable to embrace such a beautiful, like, part of being a woman. So yeah, we're lucky that we're in the times we are now, but our parents, you know, at the end of the day, they did the best they could with what they knew, what their parents told them, and it's kind of passed down anyway. So I'm just grateful that we're in the time we're in now.
Absolutely.
Exactly. I think it just keeps getting better. Like when I look at my grandparents, it was completely taboo. Yeah. And then I think, you know, your parents try to, you know, progress a little bit more each time. And, you know, this time when we have kids, we're going to do the same as well. So it's just a little trickle-down effect.
They'll be all over their menstrual cycle.
Oh, yeah. They'll be updating their status on Facebook about it, you know. Very comfortable.
Totally. Just letting you guys know, I'm bleeding today. I'm feeling okay. Still kicking balls.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So, Rochelle, tell us a little bit more about you and how you, well, why you created the Seed Cycle.
Yeah, plant. Well, so I had cramps basically my whole menstruating life. And as I became, and it wasn't just cramps, I was like, I was really moody a week before. So whoever had the luck of being my partner at the time tended to be a bit more of a punching bag. And I'm sorry, like, to those people. A week before, I would just be a dragon, and my boobs would just feel like they were just these heavy anchors. And yeah, I would get terrible period pains when my period would come. But when I became more steeped in the knowledge of my hormones through mum, and when I kind of went into my own exploration, I discovered the nutritional practice of seed cycling. And I found it in a book called Cooking for Hormone Balance by Magdalena Wislacki. And it's full of incredible dishes for all types of hormonal issues that she had experienced herself. And she created this book with a doctor and nutritionist. And it's just really rich in knowledge around food and hormones. And that kind of blew my mind open, because a lot of the time I had in my research and in my kind of discussions with people and doctors and different naturopaths, it would be kind of herbs. I would hear a lot about herbs. I would hear a lot about supplements. And I heard a bit about food, but I had never heard about food in the way of cycling seeds. So kind of taking the food and then turning it into a system almost. So this particular practice of seed cycling was targeting the cycle hormones, and it basically was, it mentioned how cycling the seeds throughout your cycle was going to essentially balance your hormones. The nutrients in the seeds were going to balance your hormones, and therefore you wouldn't experience the discomfort and the symptoms that come along with an imbalanced cycle. And I dug a bit deeper and found out that once I found this in this book, which was quite a few years ago, I started to dig a bit deeper and found that a number of renowned naturopathic doctors, like Dr. Jolene Brighton, I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's an amazing hormonal doctor, and like all-round doctor. She's got incredible resources if you want to check her out. But she was prescribing this practice to her patients to improve fertility, to regain their cycle after being on oral contraception, and to reduce pain and comfort. And initially I was super skeptical because I'd never heard of seeds causing any kind of impact on the body. I heard of seeds having like omega-3 and, you know, essential fatty acids, which could be great for overall health, but I just hadn't heard of seeds causing an impact on the hormonal cycle. But I had nothing to lose. You know, I was always up for trying anything. And so I gave it a whirl and I went off my supplements. I would normally take vitamin C, vitamin B. And I went off all my supplements to give the practice a decent chance at being the only thing that could be responsible for any kind of effect or no effect. I wanted to kind of give it, you know, a decent trial. And after even just a few months of starting, my boobs weren't throbbing a week from my period. I was definitely a lot nicer to my husband. He was stoked. The cramps were almost non-existent. So I was kind of shooketh and thought, weird, like, this is okay, we'll keep going. And I kept going, and sure enough, month after month, I wasn't experiencing all of these horrific cycle symptoms that I had been kind of battling with a lot of my menstrual life. So I was kind of converted at that point. And creating the product, going into that, that kind of came in when I started to get a bit slack with seed cycling. So the practice has to be, it's a daily nutritional and naturopathic practice. So it's something that you want to try and do every day for the nutrients to integrate into the body. There's no good just kind of sprinkling a few things on your smoothie and calling it a day. So I got to this point where I couldn't be bothered grinding my seeds. I was busy running two other businesses and the practice just kind of trailed off. And it was okay for a few months, but then my hormones started to get sluggish again. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to do something here. And I had picked up this random mix of grounded seeds. I think it was like flax and chia from the supermarket because I thought that'll do. Like I was feeling pretty lazy. And then it hit me. I was like, ready-to-use seed cycling mixes didn't exist anywhere at the time. And I thought that would be so helpful for other seed cycling slackers like me. And I'm a graphic designer, so in one day I could come up with the branding, the mission, and my plan for compostable packaging and organic ingredients.
Amazing.
But wow, yeah, it was real solid day. Like I didn't see my husband for a couple of days. It was like I was in a new relationship. He felt I was so excited about this idea, like this new kind of boyfriend that I had. But what I didn't realize is I would have to be making blends not just for myself but for everyone. So I kind of just gave myself heaps more work in the process, which is ironic, but in the end I created a product that was solving the issue of convenience, and yeah, here we are.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing because I feel like when I've never done seed cycling for longer than a period of like a month, because I think I've butted heads with the exact same issue, and I've been like, oh, I can't be bothered to grind them and then like mix them and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
So in Australia I haven't seen a product like this either, so it's
yeah
amazing.
Well it's pretty,
it's so convenient. Yeah,
yeah,
I see, like I think there's one in America that does, like there's so many more popping up around, which is awesome. Like I'm seeing all these different ways to integrate seed cycling into like seasonings and little biscuits and all these really cool ways of doing it. With Seed Cycle Blend, I wanted it to just be the foundation, and then people can kind of incorporate it how they like, which we can talk about later. But it was just I had the means to be able to create the brand. I was really lucky to have that with graphic design, I just kind of went for it, not really knowing what other things I was going to come across, but ready for the challenge nonetheless.
Yeah, you just dive
absolutely
right in.
Yeah, just I always think that, you know, life's short, and if you've got ideas and you have the means of bringing them to life, then just do it. Like you've got nothing to lose, and people will tell you, you know, oh, are you sure, like is there a market for that, like are there people, you know, I haven't seen that before and that's a bit scary, rah, rah. You know, people will tell you what they think even if you're not asking for it, but just do it. Like the worst you could lose is maybe a bit of money, and that comes and goes anyway, so you know, do it.
Hence why you run two or three businesses.
Yeah, I give it a go, you know, every year we'll see what else comes up, but yeah, it's I think that's helped me as well. Like I run a business with my husband. We do organic and whole food catering, and that was a massive learning curve. That was my first business with someone else, designer board,
which is such a challenge.
Oh wow,
itself.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast. But yeah, it definitely taught me a few things about running a business. So it did help me, and I think it's important to include that context. You know, like this sometimes you see people starting businesses and ideas and things, and it all looks so like, oh wow, this is great. But I had like 3 years of experience in running other businesses that helped me to bring this to life so quickly. So I was lucky to have that behind me as well. But also I was just so excited about this, the possibility for more women to seed cycle and like experience the same things I had experienced when I started the practice. And if I could make it easier for women, like that was just, you know, it's always been in my blood to help people with their, like help people naturally try and have natural solutions for reaching their goals, their health goals. I remember at school, I was always talking to my girlfriends being like, oh, you know, is the pill, what pill are you on? You know, is it natural? Like, what's it actually doing? And they were all like, oh, yeah. Shut up, Rochelle. Like, leave us alone. they're all very curious now what I'm doing. But I was always just so intrigued about natural health, natural medicine, and so determined to use that as the first modality for my body, you know, before using Western medicine, which definitely has its place as well. I'm so lucky to have those technologies. It's just always been in my blood, and being able to turn it into a, you know, a cool product makes me happy.
Yeah, I love that.
It's great. I think because you've had such passion around it, you probably were able to just dive right in and create such a beautiful brand.
Thank you.
It's very inspirational.
Cool. Yeah. It's very fun.
You've touched on it a little bit, but could you go into a little bit more detail of what seed cycling actually is and how it works? So we know there's those four seeds that you use throughout the cycle, but yeah, if you could give us a little bit more detail.
Absolutely. This is the juicy stuff. This is why we're here. Seed cycling, as I mentioned, is a daily nutritional and naturopathic practice. It's been around for a really long time, but it's just kind of seen as a secondary protocol that kind of is added to whatever the naturopath or nutritionist not diagnoses you with, but gives you to help your whatever ailments. It is the practice to regulate sex hormones, so predominantly estrogen, progesterone, and a little bit of testosterone. There's plenty of other hormones as well in the body. I just want to make sure we focus with seed cycling. We focus on the cycle hormones, which are these main ones that I've mentioned. And essentially, this practice reduces uncomfortable symptoms of the cycle and many other things as well. But that's what related to my particular situation. But you take specific seeds at two different halves of your cycle with nutrients to support the healthy hormone fluctuations during that half. I'll give a brief overview of the cycle fluctuations and then dive into how the nutrients interacts with those fluctuations. I'm sure that you ladies are steeped in this knowledge about the cycle as well, but I'll do a brief little overview of this. So seed cycling deals directly with two main hormonal phases with a spike in the middle called ovulation. So first half of the cycle, estrogen is rising, then you have ovulation, which is when testosterone spikes, and then the second half of the cycle is when progesterone is more dominant. Then they all drop down to shed the lining. So it's not like, and I'll name those phases in a second, but I wanted to touch on a point that it's not like cycle syncing, which breaks down the cycle. It is a form of cycle syncing, but there is quite a common cycle syncing protocol out there, which breaks the cycle down into four parts, which is menstrual, follicular, ovulation, and luteal. But biologically, the follicular phase actually starts in the ovary on day one of your menstrual cycle. The minute you start shedding your lining, your ovary and brain are chatting to each other saying, right, that egg didn't fertilize. We're going to need you to start cooking up another one. So your ovaries
start cooking those eggs.
So your ovaries don't wait until the end of your bleed to do this. It gets started ASAP, which is why we aren't the biggest fans of seeing the follicular phase kind of advertised as starting after our period. Which you kind of see in some cycle syncing practices. I think it's helpful when you're focusing on supporting the menstrual phase, you know, like in that time of bleeding. Kind of biologically, scientifically speaking, the follicular phase starts at day one of your period. So the first blend is called foal to match the follicular phase, which is the first half of the cycle, which we mentioned estrogen is the dominant hormone. So this has flaxseed and pumpkin seed. And the second blend is lute to match the luteal phase, which is the second half of the cycle with sesame and sunflower seeds. And we switch the blends at ovulation we change to lute, and on day one of our bleed we change to foal. And ovulation as well, that's another one I'll touch on quickly. We illustrate this kind of cycle with a graphic, a seed cycling circle graphic, which is split into two halves. We start at the bottom of the circle with the first day of our cycle and follicular phase. I hope this isn't too confusing, like I'm hearing myself like repeat.
No, not at all. I think as well when people look at the way, like obviously you're a graphic designer and have done such a good job, but when people see it, I think it makes so much sense. And we can link all of the beautiful
graphics. And that's I would definitely recommend people to even just open up our webpage and go to how it works and go to the little circle graphic, or how our cycle I think might be the right page, but the circle graphic basically describes that. And on ovulation, which in biological terms is only an approximate 24-hour window. And so we tend to not like to call this a whole phase. Like there's definitely an energetic phase where you're kind of preparing before and after ovulation, but the actual technical ovulation is around a 24-hour window. So we just use this as a signal to change from your foal blend into your lute blend, into the luteal phase. And you can also cycle with the moon if you don't have a menstrual cycle or have lost it temporarily, or you're coming back into breastfeeding. We've got a graphic there as well that helps you to understand from the full moon. You can take, I think it's the full moon or a new moon, you can start with your foal blend right up until ovulation, and then right up until the new moon, and then you can switch over to lute because it has a roughly the same like 14 days apiece, a menstrual cycle. So that's kind of an extended version of the cycle that we kind of use to base our seed cycling protocol on. So the nutrients, this is an interesting part as well. So there's obviously many benefits to seeds, but I'm going to focus on two main aspects for seed cycling. So firstly, lignans are a major class of phytoestrogens. So phytoestrogens basically is estrogen nutrient that kind of mimics estrogen. And they are found in the key seeds, flaxseed, pumpkin seed, sunflower, and sesame. And these phytoestrogens support the production and elimination of estrogen in the body, which in turn encourages the healthy production of progesterone and other sex hormones. So how it works is your body has estrogen receptors on cells all over your body. So they're kind of waiting to understand what they need to do, like what nutrients tells them what to do. So
someone tell me where to go, what to do.
So they're just kind of there on your cells waiting. And so these seeds or the nutrients from the seeds come in and they kind of plug into this receptor, and the receptor tells this, well, the nutrient activates the receptor to either block estrogen production or to stimulate estrogen production based on what is already in the body. So it's kind of checking, is there enough estrogen in the body or is there too much? And then it basically balances it out. Similar to an adaptogen. That's the kind of function of the phytoestrogens.
So amazing that our body has, like, every time I get into a conversation with someone about the human body, and especially like women's bodies, it's so amazing that it just does this. Like, it just inherently knows to do this.
I know. And this is where we come back to like body wisdom, you know, because it doesn't help when we don't know what's going on, you know, like, and especially when someone else seems a bit more knowledgeable on our body, and you know, certain doctors can say this is what's happening and this is what's happening. But when you kind of integrate that knowledge for yourself and you start like listening each day and you go, oh, that's what, that's that. When it comes down to things like this, which is pretty, you know, down to the cell and, you know, estrogen receptors and things, that stuff is just like mind blowing. I love it.
And there's such like subtle little clues of how your body is going and how it's
like a little like avatar when they kind of plug their tail into something. It's like is that what happens? I can't remember. But it's kind of like that where they plug it in and the body is just like, okay, well, what do we need to do here? So that's kind of the role of the nutrients there. The second part of the nutrient kind of section is that we need cholesterol to produce progesterone. So fatty acids, and it's basically the common precursor of all steroid hormones. So there's a lot of kind of controversial information about cholesterol, and when you dig a bit deeper and you kind of look at the literature, there's far more to support the importance of good fats, especially for women to be able to produce healthy hormones, and especially progesterone, which there's no foods that mimic progesterone. And progesterone's the hormone that makes us chilled and feel, you know, mellow, and it's meant to make us feel like that. And it kind of does the opposite when we don't have enough of it. That's when we turn into a bit of a dragon before our period. the seeds also contribute other nutrients like zinc, which plays a crucial role in the process of reproduction. There's a lot of literature on that. Vitamin E, what else do we have? Yeah, vitamin E, there's androgenic and progesterone-like properties, and pantothenic acid, which affects adrenal function. And that's, adrenals are also a really important building block to healthy hormones. So, yeah, there's basically a range of nutrients the seeds possess that make consuming them daily a beneficial habit. But those are the main aspects that support the hormonal fluctuations.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Yeah, like what an affordable way to kind of help your hormones as well. I feel like a lot of the time there's so many blends and superfoods thrown around, but it's just those, you know, those four seeds that you use really commonly. Most people probably have those in the kitchen. You know, pumpkin, sunflowers, like a few dollars from Aldi.
Absolutely.
And that's festival. It's great.
Yeah. that's what I love about it too, is that it's also just like a whole food. Like, it's not, sometimes I can feel a bit nervous about herbs, which can sometimes, depending on your constitution and where you're at with your health, it can sometimes be a bit too stimulating on the liver and stimulating on the organs. And like, I had this kind of collagen drink thing the other day that had some reishi in it, and I started to feel anxious afterwards because my body kind of it couldn't handle that extra stimulation from the mushroom. So you've got to definitely be very careful with, and we always recommend going to a natural health practitioner who can actually give you a proper diagnosis instead of kind of self-diagnosing. But that's what I just loved about seed cycling, is that it's just a food. It's really kind of harmless unless you have gut issues. Like, if you, and this is like with anything, if you don't have a strong gut or digestive system, which you want to, if you do, you want to get that checked, you can't absorb any nutrients, whether it's supplements, herbs, you know, proteins, all those superfoods. So you want to make sure before you do any kind of, you know, nutritional health practice for your cycle, you want to make sure that your gut health is in great shape so that it can actually absorb nutrients. Otherwise, it's basically just like a slide, and, you know, whatever you put in just slides straight out.
of course
yeah, what an important point.
I think as well with touching on the herbs, because where I went to uni we worked with naturopaths and nutritionists, and I think sometimes what can get missed is, I mean, herbs are amazing, they work wonders with people, but I think as well if you haven't addressed someone's sort of underlying vitality, like if the basis of like their energy and like their hormones and things like that are sitting pretty low, I find that with the herbs it can be almost too stimulating when you haven't addressed the under, like the base sort of things. Where this, I think this is where the seed cycling is amazing, because it's a really gentle kind of way of forming that base layer and helping your body to produce its own. And I know herbs can often stimulate that HPO access and affect the brain and the pituitary and the adrenals and the ovaries, and it can almost be a little bit too much for some people.
And it's, everyone's different, you know, everyone's constitution is different, and I know some people who really thrive on all sorts of different herbs and things that they've been prescribed. And I think that's like the point you're making is so important, is that I think it's important to diagnose any underlying you know, issues or the kind of their hormonal situation and other health, like overall health, you know, before you kind of dive into taking anything. Like I said, it's the same with seed cycle blend. You know, if your stomach isn't in good shape, if you aren't digesting food well, or it's fermenting and you don't have enough digestive enzymes to actually break that food down, then, you know, that's an issue as well. So I think it's important to understand where you're at now, like before you go into any kind of herbal supplementary foods or, you know, medications or, you know, what have you, natural medications, obviously. But checking all of that, I think, is really important, because, you know, I can say all these amazing things about seed cycling, but every single person is different and have different ailments that need to be acknowledged as well.
Yeah, of course, of course. And I'm sure we'll touch on it more in terms of women learning to understand the phases of their cycle and things like that. But using the seed cycle blend, it's such a beautiful way to help women to connect to their bodies and their cycles and to feel empowered. And what kind of other benefits can women expect to see when they start using the seed cycle blend for their
that's another amazing point that I just love about this, that I discovered when I was doing it, is that I was kind of forced to learn about tracking my cycle as well, because for you to get an accurate reading on when you've actually ovulated, there's only a few different tools out there to do it. You can have those ovulation sticks, I think it is, and you can pee on them and see if your ovulating changes the color. But what's a really cool, sustainable way of being able to check in with your body each day is taking your basal body temperature and checking your cervical mucus and doing the fertility awareness method, which Melissa does. So that kind of forced me to do that. I really observe my physiological symptoms each day to know where I'm at. And seed cycling was kind of married that concept perfectly, because I would go, okay, this is where I'm at this morning. I go have my fold blend today. Oh, I've ovulated, I'm switching over to Lute. So it's kind of like a physical ritual that kind of said, I'm in this phase now. You know, it was kind of like it set you into your phase in quite a physical way.
Yeah.
So I loved that. It definitely encourages that curiosity about the body and the cycle and learning a bit more about that. The benefits as well, like on top of this kind of cycle literacy, is the moods. As I mentioned, a lot of women who have suffered with PCOS and other conditions where they, have tried things, and this is once again a really gentle way of being able to support the hormones. They've found a lot of relief in that. The acne is another one. People have noticed it's basically all the things that when your hormones are balanced, your body will stop giving you grief, basically. You know, it will stop giving you painful breasts before your period. It will stop giving you cramps. Like you're meant to feel a little bit of a sensation with your period. I'm not going to say it's going to eliminate everything altogether, because we also need to almost feel that phase and be there in that moment and cleanse and kind of go through that winter season. But there's just so many different benefits. I've heard from many people. I had a woman contact me and say that seed cycling helped her to conceive. She was really struggling with her cycle, and it was that combination of having to track your cycle and then take the seeds, and together she was more aware of what was happening in her body, plus the support from the seeds helped to get her hormones in a healthy fluctuation phase. It's just I get lots of different stories from lots of different women, but it's all great positive stuff. So it's always great to hear.
That's so amazing.
Oh, how exciting. And like I feel like, especially when you are just getting into that menstrual cycle awareness, like having something like this to support you really just helps you to tune into the different energies of the cycle as well. Yes. And to just become more aware of your body and what kind of signs and what kind of alterations they have every couple of days.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's a great tool for awareness.
Yeah, and it's great that they're split into that foal and luteal. Well, I think it's foal and lut that you've got the different packages in, because it's women are kind of, I don't want to say forced, but having the two different packages, it's just like a reminder for them to check into where they are and to actually have to be there.
Totally. Yeah. That's what I love about it. It's kind of, that's exactly what I wanted to try and create with the design as well. You know, this kind of very visual purple half and orange half, foal, lute, and not just kind of call it something that's kind of, made up. I wanted it to be close, to the actual biological phases of what's happening, the follicular phase and the luteal phase, and kind of gently welcome women into this kind of learning space as well.
And I think it's super easy, and like it's quite basic to start off with, so that women who have no idea can be like, okay, so I just have to kind of think of my cycle at the moment initially in like two different halves.
Yes.
And then that opens this whole other door to being like, oh, wow, there's all of
this
and it's not like you need to be all over it initially.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I really wanted it to be gentle and also something that is kind of not too, like we hear kind of alternative medicine and you kind of almost automatically put that group of people or practices into a box and you go, oh, that's kind of, they're a bit fruity, you know. So I wanted I wanted to create a brand that was accessible to everyone and that wasn't, that wouldn't kind of almost scare the people off who would be curious about this and probably otherwise wouldn't try if it did seem to, you know, if it didn't seem as accessible. So I think that's what I wanted to create with the design as well, is that everyone can access this. It's essentially a natural supplement, but I didn't want it to come across as a natural supplement, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. You wanted to kind of, I guess, focus more on the scientific evidence behind it and kind of, create awareness in that way. Because I think you're right. I think there's some people who they hear the word natural medicine or supplementation and they just don't believe it. Yeah. And in that way, it probably won't work as effectively.
Yeah. So this was kind of, if you create something that is kind of fun and quirky, but still has the structure of, you know, the kind of scientific structure around it, I think people tend to trust it more, which is, it can be hard because the seed cycling itself actually needs more funding to be researched as just seed cycling, because right now the literature is all around just the nutrients and the interaction with the with those hormones, so nutrients and hormones, but not the actual seed cycling, which we're kind of working towards as well, to look at funding for that to kind of make it even stronger.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Exciting.
It's frustrating because I feel like, I mean, along with so much other research, it's like scientists are afraid to work with women because they're probably just like, oh, this is too complex. There's too many different phases of their cycle. This is almost like, I feel like they throw it into the too hard
basket. Yeah, I think we definitely, for a very long time, women have been dismissed in medical scenarios and environments, you know, like it's kind of been, we're a bit delirious and we're a bit crazy and, you know, we're just kind of overthinking it. But I think now there's a lot more support for women's research. There's a few more people getting behind the importance of doing this kind of research and funding for these practices that are almost kind of ancient. Really kind of substantiating the practice so that more people can trust it. Because unfortunately, when things don't have that backing, that kind of scientific backing, our default is to not trust it. It's kind of with meditation, which has now become this kind of shiny mainstream thing. Back in the day, it was very rubbished, you know. It was kind of just this woo-woo thing that Buddhists did in temples and mountains, and you know, they can stay there and we can keep living our life. But now, because they were able to substantiate a lot of the research and the findings, you know, and they did more clinical trials, it's more credible and it's used for everyone around the world, you know, big corporates and all of that. So that is the battle with the natural world, I guess, like natural health world, that will always be a challenge. Funding isn't easy for, root cause processes, because they actually get to the root of the issue and try to heal that instead of getting recurring issues based on the last medication. And so sometimes there's not as much money in getting to the root cause and therefore not as much funding available. But I think there's more coming to the party, more doctors and scientists and researchers. So fingers crossed we can kind of make a bit of a splash with the scientists and, you know, research that's coming through.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a transition from, especially now with more women in the workforce, seeing of how they can actually be more productive, because obviously we have a different cycle to men in terms of our productivity. Absolutely. And hormones, that kind of thing. So I think there's definitely a wave coming, and with more, you know, female scientists.
I can feel it.
More interest.
I saw just the other day, I saw Nike do a campaign for exercising with your cycle phases, and that's like massive.
Oh, wow.
You know,
that is amazing. That's really exciting.
So that's like a big player recognizing the importance of the menstrual cycle and pairing that with, you know, the correct exercise for the different phases. So I definitely feel it coming through. The American women's football team trains based on their cycle. For better productivity. There's a lot of different like sports teams.
I love that.
Yeah, who are doing that now. So hopefully that kind of gives these other kind of old school practices and structures a bit of a shake up, and maybe we can think about how we work and how we support women in a workplace. And you know, that they can, because if they can be more productive in their ovulation, you know, their summer season and during that time, and do just as much work and, you know, get the task done, you know, that's great. Why don't we embrace that? You know, I think sometimes it's so outdated that we are following essentially a male hormonal cycle, which is testosterone rises in the morning and then wanes in the afternoon with a little bit of estrogen at the end of the day, which fits perfectly for the 9 to 5, you know, 7 days a week,
doesn't it?
But it's like, so why don't we look at structuring the workday around a woman's cycle? Or, you know, maybe women need to work more from home or in environments where they can be a little bit more fluid. So, I think we're working towards that. I feel optimistic about it. It's cool being in this industry and having a product like this where I can kind of reach out to different people all around the world. We've got people in the UK, the US, Canada. We've got, people are really interested all over the world for this product. Mm. So, yeah, who knows what's next?
Yeah, that's
amazing.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
So who, I guess to go back a little bit, like who should use seed cycling? Is it also for individuals who are on the contraceptive pill or who don't have their menstrual cycle at the moment?
Yeah. So we have a really great quiz on our website to help people find this out. But the general, like the types of people are basically anyone with a natural cycle, anyone who wants their natural cycle back after oral contraceptives, people who aren't allergic to seeds, that's important as well. There's an allergy to three seeds, that wouldn't be ideal. Menopausal women who can cycle with the moon, and they kind of experience a bit of kind of relief as they go through menopause because their progesterone and estrogen is slowly decreasing, a menopausal woman. That can really help. Seed cycling, and obviously because they're not getting a bleed anymore, they can seed cycle with the moon and still get the support of these nutrients for the transition to be a bit more gentle. But on your point of being on the contraceptive pill, essentially, like from what we know of what the oral contraceptive pill does, is it essentially puts your hormones to sleep. So it basically just kind of flattens out those hormonal fluctuations. And so seed cycling is kind of redundant because you're not supporting fluctuations. There's nothing, no fluctuations to support. You can still seed cycle and get the benefits of getting into that rhythm of the female cycle, kind of similar to menopausal women or people who have lost their cycle. And you just do it with the moon, but you're not obviously going to get the kind of amazing benefits that you'll get when you are working with your natural hormonal fluctuations.
Yeah.
But it's definitely really effective for people who are coming off contraceptive as well, oral contraceptives. But yeah, it's basically, it can be for anyone, but there's just certain, you know, precautions as well. I would say breastfeeding women don't need to seed cycle because they've got their prolactin hormones doing their thing. And sometimes, you know, prolactin tends to, or any hormones when you're breastfeeding are doing what they need to do, and you kind of don't need to interrupt that such.
Yeah.
Until you're ready to get your period back, and you're wanting to wean off breastfeeding and your hormones start to change again, that's when you can introduce seed cycling again. And you can, even when you're pregnant, you just don't need to cycle the seeds. You can take foal and lute together and just get the benefits of those beautiful fatty acids and omega-3s. And that can really help baby as well when you're developing, when your baby's growing. So you can kind of switch it up, you know, you can use seed cycling for different things, and yeah, essentially you don't necessarily have to cycle them if you're in a situation where you're not having fluctuations.
Yeah.
You can still take them for the nutritional benefits.
Yeah. How great. And especially like for those who come off the contraceptive pill, I think the first year can be really daunting, and some, you know, some women get their period straight away, but some take maybe 6 months or longer to actually get that back.
Oh, yeah.
Having a tool that actually supports potentially regulating that and getting that to come back sooner and hopefully not as painful is
totally
really amazing.
Yeah.
Well, the hard thing with coming off oral contraception as well is that most of the time, whatever kind of ailments we had before we went on the pill, we might get back after we go off the pill. So something like seed cycling can really support the kind of that first detox almost of being on the pill. It can make it a bit more kind of gentle. But another thing as well, which I think is really challenging coming off the pill, is just the psychological, like the mindset of seed cycling is about the long game. It's not something that you're going to see results tomorrow. You know, it's a really, it's an investment into your cycle health on a daily basis. So it's not like the pill where we're so used to taking it and, you know, we get what we want the day after or for that month or that week. So it's switching into that mindset that, okay, I'm about to invest in, you know, a bit of a longer journey, but it's going to pay off in the end.
Yeah, and it can take up to about 100 days for a follicle to completely mature. So,
yeah.
I mean, what I talk to clients about is it can take like 3 months to begin to see changes.
Absolutely. That's what we say with seed cycling as well, actually. Like there are some outliers who notice it straight away, like within a month. But three months is that kind of incubation phase of the nutrients where your body's kind of integrating that nutrients and marrying that with the functions of the hormones. So yeah, 3 months is the average time to kind of give it a shot and to notice results.
Wow, yeah, that's so interesting, because I think with, you know, those protocols that just take a little bit extra time to really have an impact on your body, it can be a little bit discouraging at the beginning when you're not
seeing
the changes that you want. Like I recently wanted to try out the bean protocol because I heard it had really amazing benefits for your gut. I did it for about 2 weeks, and then I started feeling too clogged up, and like I just felt like feeling like a bit constipated. And I just stopped doing it altogether, and then I found out more information, and that's actually showing that it actually is working, and it's starting to kind of dispel those toxins out of your body. So you just need to kind of push past those barriers that you're seeing and just kind of keep trusting the process.
Yeah, and it's just, it's kind of just like we're very conditioned to have things straight away, you know, like our whole environment is designed to have immediate things gratification. You know, exactly, that instant gratification, and I need that thing delivered by express so it can be here tomorrow. Like, we're so used to having everything straight away and being able to make a change on a website instantly. And it's just, you know, these constant little bits of dopamine that like, oh, great, straight away. But I think that's why it is so important to train ourselves. Like I meditate every morning and do a mindful practice. And it's just so nice to remember too that life is really potent when it's slow, you know, like life can be so much richer when things slow down and when we surrender to that slow vibe of life. You know, it's just, I think that's something that I really want to, you know, get into as much as possible this year, is that, you know, even with us all being locked up and this pandemic around the world, like we're still really stimulated, like stimulating ourselves, having all of these images and media, fear and uncertainty and all of these really kind of intense feelings and lots of stimulation. And even in, you know, your four walls, you can still be so exhausted from just the overload of information and impulsion, you know, this kind of infatuation with having things straight away or seeing something change in an instant. So I think that's something that it would be amazing to work on as a collective, is really embracing taking things a bit slower and really smelling the roses, you know.
I totally agree with that, because I feel like, you know, when, you know, if you take maybe a trip or something like that as an example, you're saving up for it, you're getting excited about it, you're doing more planning, you're looking at different places that you could visit, and that anticipation just like makes the whole experience so much more exciting. Whereas, you know, if you just book a trip and don't really pay much attention to it, you have the money, everything ready to go, you're still going to have a good time, but that whole period of waiting for it is, you know, is lost, and the trip ends up being, you know, a lot shorter. That being shorter, so
you don't absorb as much of it as you can.
And it's just like, and it's no wonder, you know, like I wish that could just, like, once again, like it's a paradox, because I want that to change tomorrow, you know, but but, you know, this is the thing. I think it's, awareness is probably the closest we can get to making a decent change for now, you know, because everything is so instant. But being aware of those moments where you're like, oh, I'm in the future right now. My thoughts are in the future. I need to come back to this desk, this screen, this, you know, window, like kind of really try to simplify your moment so that you kind of feel the whole thing, because I think we're massively wired to be living either in the past or in the future, and that can be just so detrimental to our health. And like, what I care about most is like the cycle and, you know, our hormonal well-being, so the more we can do that, the better, I'd say. But awareness,
I know. It's crazy, because I feel like for so long multitasking has been glorified, and that's kind of what you've been striving to do, to achieve. And now it's like, I find it's just all about trying to regain that focus on that one thing, when you can be present and actually do a really decent job at that one thing rather than being so scattered.
That's such a good point. And maybe it was also like beneficial for whoever created that idea that women are great at multitasking. Like, that's very helpful for people who want us to do a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
so it's, you know, maybe we need to flip that on its head and go, actually, women are great at slowing down and doing one thing at a time. And you know, that's what makes us productive and present and in our feminine body and, you know, our feminine energy, which I think a lot of us really lose, especially like, you know, I run a few different businesses and I can really be in my masculine a lot.
Yeah.
I can really be in that energy, and especially in a partnership, working with my partner in one of those businesses and really trying to hold back my, not hold back because I think it's good to acknowledge it as well, but I miss the feminine energy. You know, I miss the softness. Yeah. I miss being kind of like gentle and being kind of held and, you know, smothered with love, because I'm this like, you know, kind of not fragile, but I'm this gentle kind of little flower. And I like that sometimes. I think there's nothing wrong with wanting that. I think we can still be powerful women whilst being soft and, you know, and gentle at the same time.
Yeah,
just managing those two energies, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Which is, it's kind of, I'm learning to do that as well, I think, because I've recently started doing my own clinic stuff online, and like you get so into this headspace of being like really focused and like get shit done.
Organized. And then
I also want to like sit there and be flowy and yeah, chill. So yeah, it's definitely, it's a journey, but yeah, everyone can get there.
Exactly. You just gotta make time for it.
Totally. Yeah, that's the magic word, time.
Yeah. And we touched on it ever so briefly before, but with the seed cycling blends, how can women begin to incorporate them into their daily routine so they're not just shoving a mouthful of seeds into their hair?
Although, you know, that can happen when we're feeling a bit lazy, so I'm no judge there. But we have a seed cycling recipe book coming out, actually. We're really excited for this.
Amazing.
So we've got 10 really simple recipes to make. It's super easy because I didn't want it to be complicated at all. But just quietly, I literally do put it in water and chuck it back sometimes because I'm all about that simple life. But you can just anything. You can in your breakfast, like if you have like a yogurt and granola or cereal, you just put your dose into the yogurt and you just mix it around, and you can do it like that. You can also incorporate it into juices, smoothie bowls. You can make butters, you can make pesto, make little bliss balls. All of those things are going to be in our recipe book, which is really exciting. So there's lots of different ways to do it, and we wanted to create this recipe book because that's what I think women were searching for as well, is how to make it easier again. You know, like we've blended seeds, they're ready to go, they're ready to consume, but it's that next step of how do you get it in your mouth, basically. And if you can create easy ways to do that, that are already pre-prepared, like we've got these seed cycling melties, which is basically cacao, coconut oil, a bit of nut butter, and then you put a dose of your blends in a you put it in a pan, melt it all down, and then you put it into little cupcake trays and freeze it.
Oh my god, yum.
Yeah, it's so good. That recipe is on our website already in the blog section. But you can you just pop those out, and they're just these quick little doses that are delicious. But you can get creative. You know, this is the beauty of seed cycle blenders, that it's just the foundation. You can kind of do whatever you like with it.
Yeah, I think it's so useful that they're such versatile, you know, food groups. So you can put them into desserts, into savory, into sweet things.
Totally.
And from what it sounds like, you don't have to take them in the morning. You can have them throughout the day.
Totally. Okay. We've got a hummus recipe in the book, which is really nice, because that's such a, for me, I like sweet things, but I also really enjoy a savory snack. So hummus, I felt, was a really nice option for, you know, a couple of veggie sticks. And
Gina's favorite.
I'm mouthwatering right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you'd definitely love the recipe book. And it's just when you pre-prepare stuff, it's just, it is so much easier to stick to the protocol. You know, that's something that we really try to encourage with the product as well, as making it as easy as possible, because we know women are busy, and cycling individuals are really looking for that easy option to be able to just get it done. You know, it's not something that we need to be too fancy about, but just need to get it done, you know.
Okay, yeah, all about simplicity. I love it.
Yeah, I'm all about that life.
Well, thank you so, so much, Rochelle. I feel like we've all learned a lot. There's a lot of wisdom in there. And I think, I'm really keen to start trying seed cycling.
Totally.
And trying all those amazing recipes.
My pleasure.
Yeah, beautiful. And I guess just for their listeners, how can they find you? How can they get their hands on the seed cycle blends? How can they kind of get started learning about
Totally. Well, I would say straight to our website, so seedcycleblend.com. We're also on Instagram. If you ever want to message me on there, I'm always up for a chat. So that's just Seed Cycle Blend as well on Instagram. But I'm always happy to hear from people and understand what they're after with Seed Cycle Blend.
Amazing. Yeah, well, thank you for all the incredible wisdom and education. Mm-hmm. And
thanks for having me.
Yeah, just creating such an amazing product that not only supports women's hormones, but just helps them to really check in and connect to themselves.
Yeah, and create that awareness. Yeah, I think it's such a great tool.
It's my pleasure. I was so excited when this happened to me. So if I have the means of being able to bring it to more people, then, I'm stoked to be able to do that. But thank you so much, ladies. That was such a great chat. And hopefully we can reach out to some more women with seed cycling and see if they want to give it a go.
Thank you for joining us in this week's episode on the In Her Flow podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review if you loved this podcast episode.
Even better, share it with a friend or family member who could benefit from this information. Our mission is to normalize period talk and help women to tune in with their cyclical bodies.
See you next week.